Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Minutes after 9 o'clock, and Sheldon is here with us. We are talking music, but this time, really nice, interesting twist, Workers' Day theme today.
Yes.
Welcome to Sheldon. Welcome, welcome.
Hi.
So that's a very interesting take on Shosholoza.
It is. It's a jazzy feel. It's Themba Mkhize from his 2004 album, Hands On.
Who's original Shosholoza?
So it's Shosholoza, which is like almost like an unofficial, like, South African anthem of the worker. Mm. And the song, I traced back the history, and it's a Nguni song, which was often performed by men in the hostels at the gold mines. And it's a mix, it's got a mix of Ndebele and Zulu in it. Sometimes the lyrics altered depending on who was performing it. So the lyrics weren't always consistent, which is a sign of like a traditional song. So it seems to be traditional. No one's owned up to the composition of the song. It's done in that very specific, like, typical like call and response style, where, you know, there's like an echo kind of singing, and the rhythm is supposed to replicate the rhythm of the workers in the mines. Because from my reading of the whole thing, it's in order to maximize efficiency, people started working according to a rhythm, almost like people on a canoe rowing together. If you can get into a rhythm, then the work goes faster because you start building up momentum. And that song is got all of those characteristics in it. Themba Mkhize, however, is more of a jazz musician, and he comes from a background of performing with a band called Bayete, and then decided to go solo. This version doesn't sound, I mean, it's got elements of Shosholoza in it, but it's so far removed from the original version. But anyway, like, so my whole thing was like, reflect, like, what, when I thought, I mean, next week on Wednesday is Workers' Day. And then I was like, what is this Workers' Day thing? Because, like, we celebrate it every year, but it, like, the more I started reading about it, the more I started realizing, oh, it's not a South African thing at all. It's an international thing. And it coincides with a celebration that was already happening in Europe called May Day. And May Day was like the first day of summer. Like, we are big on the 1st of September here in South Africa, where we celebrate Spring Day. But in Europe, May Day is the big day in which people celebrate the beginning of summer. And then all of this sort of changed in about 1856, where the Australians organized a big protest march against, trying to institute the 8-hour day. And that became, like, for the next, like, 60 years, this big thing to try and get an 8-hour day. Now we've even moved away from the 8-hour day to a 4-day week. But a lot of people complain that the 4-day week's it's 5 days, but squeezed into 4 days. So actually you're doing more work in the 4 days than you would have done in the 5 days anyway.
Are you taking a dig at us?
So that's what you know, like, people are, like, there's this big movement around the world at the moment moving towards this, like, 4-day week. But back in the 1800s, it was about the 8-hour day, because a lot of, like, laborers were getting exploited by doing exorbitantly long days, like 12-hour days, etc. And so in 1856, there was this big protest, and it sort of, like, exploded, and people around the world started jumping on the bandwagon. And in 1886, there was this thing called the Haymarket Affair, where the Americans decided that they were going to do a protest, But what happened was that someone at the protest threw a bomb, and then the police started shooting indiscriminately at the protesters and ended up killing a whole lot of people at the protest. And it became this world-renowned like event that happened. And so everyone then started like jumping on this bandwagon. And in 1889, the Marxist International Socialist Congress organized this gathering in Paris, where they decided that they were going to now celebrate Labor Day or Workers' Day on the 1st of May. Now, how South Africa comes into it is in 1950, the Communist Party decided in South Africa to protest against South Africa's anti-apartheid laws, and specifically the suppression of the Communist Party in South Africa, and they organized a march. In that march, a whole lot of people were killed. About 18 people were killed, 16 people were killed in Soweto. This then became, from one year to the next, people came out and started celebrating this 1st of May thing. And it was a whole big movement in solidarity with the workers around the world. And so in 1986, a COSATO decided that they were going to call for the 1st of May to be recognized as a public holiday. And what they did was they asked people in the whole of South Africa to stay away from work. And 1.5 million people in South Africa stayed away from work. That then escalated, and people started associating this 1st of May with like anti-apartheid activism. And then eventually in 1994, when the new democratic government came into power, the 1st of May was declared a public holiday. So I thought that it was quite interesting to look back at the history, like dating all the way back to 1856, and how, you know, the world coalesced around this specific cause about laborers and workers, and trying to get people workers' rights. And I mean, that hasn't ceased. We're now even moving into different spheres of that kind of of thinking and labor, the labor force, etc. Our next song is it
Freshly Ground?
Oh, Freshly Ground.
Is that Freshly Ground? Freshly Ground. Freshly Working Ground. Class.
Working Class.
Yeah. So we've spoken about Thandiswa Maswai before, right?
Yes, we had a show about her about 2 weeks ago.
And we played also Working Class by Freshly Ground, which I admit, I wasn't too familiar with the song before.
Yeah.
But I mean, Freshly Ground, also so diverse in music.
That song, if you notice on both songs, they've got this, like with Shosholoza,
the tempo.
Yeah, that driving
the tempo,
rhythm.
The tempo, yeah.
Which both... all three songs, well, the first one, obviously, because it was a jazz version, it didn't have that, but the original does, and these two also have, like, that driving rhythm, like the workers' rhythm kind of vibe. But this Working Class, which is a bit of a deep dive, because it's from Freshly Ground's fourth studio album called Radio Africa, was one of the tracks on there. I don't think it was even, like, mass-released. But... the song is, they're better known for Doobie Doo. And that specific song, if you listen to it, it's really giving like No Doubt, like the band No Doubt, that ska, reggae, rock feel, which is so unusual for them because that wasn't their original sound. But with this specific album, they decided at Radio Africa, it's 2010, so also at the same time as Waka Waka. So with this specific album, they wanted to break free from their previous sound and try something completely different. And so they were hoping that they would offer audiences coming to South Africa at the time from all around the world like a parting gift, which was this Radio Africa. And if people then came to South Africa and they were all in the vibe about the World Cup and, you know, the Soccer World Cup and everything, the FIFA World Cup, that people would be like inspired to buy curios and this and that and the next thing, and maybe this album as well. So the idea was to create like a very Africanized kind of album that parted ways from their previous sounds. The interesting thing is they even had an anti-Robert Mugabe song on the album called Chicken to Change on that album as well. But the interesting thing is that they recorded a lot of this album in New York, Radio Africa. And while they were recording the album, the people downstairs, in the studio downstairs from them, were working on the song called Waka Waka with Shakira. And so the producer who was producing Waka Waka, he was like, I need an African sound on this album. I mean, it is the World Cup song and it's in Africa. So, and then he heard that Freshly Ground was recording upstairs. So he approached them and he said, will you guys join us on this track? And then they just lobbed on Freshly Ground onto this Waka Waka track. So it was completely incidental that they were happened to be recording in a studio at the same time that Shakira was recording downstairs
the Waka Waka. Isn't that quite something?
It is, hey?
Wow.
And we all think, like, you know, South African musicians are sitting in a studio there, like somewhere in their house, recording albums, and there's Freshly Ground recording in New York, you know, as everyone does.
Like it just happens that easily.
Yeah, just you're there for the vibe.
Okay, so we never spoke about Zabalaza. Yes.
We had to go pay the
yes,
bills.
Yes, of course. So obviously, Thandiswa Mazwaya's favorite, yes. Zabalaza.
Yes.
It says it all. The name says it all.
Yeah, it was song. Also the name of an album that was released in 2004, album called Zabalaza. It was her first studio album after leaving Bongo Muffin, which was an iconic Kwaito band. But the whole, it was Kwaito band with a conscience. Because the whole big thing with Kwaito was that it was supposed to be like an anti-protest movement. So up to 1994, you had very like distinct protest musicians in South Africa, people like Johnny Clegg and Huma Sakela and Miriam Makeba and all of those very like protesty musicians. Abdullah Ibrahim, you know, there was a whole litany of protest musicians. But when 1994 came around and we were liberated, there was a whole movement towards us like, you know what? We've been under oppression for such a long time. We just need to party. We just want to party. So Kwaito was a party music. It was very, very like blatantly a party music. Although there were some songs that were political in nature, the general consensus was that Kwaito was supposed to be like a protest, a party music. But with Bongo Muffin, because
it's just Tandis, at the right time, right?
Exactly. Because Thandiswa was like the person that she is, the music had more of a consciousness to it. And so it was Kwaito, but with a conscience, where, you know, the responsibility of commentating on things that were happening in society was an essential component of what Thandiswa was trying to achieve. So when she cut her strings with Bongo Muffin and decided to move forward, her own music was very much about reflecting on...
But also when you look at the formation of the group, very interesting character there. Was it Yasid?
Yes.
Yasid. Bringing a very different sound and dynamic, also a very different background, which I think gave it some texture.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't like
and
a
depth.
Monotone.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So with this specific album, Zabalaza, in preparation for the album, Thandiswa went back to her roots in the Transkei and she immersed herself in Xhosa culture.
Yeah, that journey was incredible.
Exactly.
She documented all of that.
Yes, and she was trying to immerse herself in, like, what is music? What is music of my people? you know, how do they make music? What is the significance of music? And she fully immersed herself in what that was. And out of that came this album called Zabalaza. I think even her band, the way she formed the band, it was like a three-day audition. Over 400 musicians rocked up for the auditions. It was sifting through all of these people to find the right balance of people to actually replicate and reproduce the sound that she was trying to create. So, like, all attention to detail was serviced in the making of this album. Mm. And so this specific song, Zabalaza, it means they struggled. Mm-hmm. And so she's talking about a struggle.
It's a protest song.
Exactly. Yeah. And so a struggle can be many different kinds of things. But I think, like, considering, where people come from and how they contribute to society, and you listen to the rhythm of the music, and it's got that driving like rhythm. It's reflective of like where we've come from, where we're going to, and what we're trying to achieve as a society and community. Mm. And that's why I chose this specific song as a Workers' Day song, because it is about almost like a rebellion, yeah. You know, like an uprising.
So the next song, I mean, such a South African song, Vicky Sampson.
Oh, geez.
Such a South African song.
The unofficial. People said it was like a national anthem.
Yes.
But it was definitely the Rainbow Nations national anthem,
yeah.
Because that was the terminology that was being touted around at that time, which is so ironic because now rainbows mean something completely different. And so to think that we came from the Rainbow Nation, like, it's like, wow.
But no one wants to own that now.
And so I think it's cool that actually 1994 we were thinking about things like a rainbow nation, which means an assimilation of everybody. Mm. Everyone's part of this mix, which is truly representative. You know, like, people are, I'm reading this book at the moment, which is highly critical about South Africa and our decaying moral fiber, and I'm thinking actually our moral fiber is pretty good in this country, you know. Like, I think there are other countries where there's much worse things going on, and yeah. Here there's at least people like each other, you yeah. know. The people in general will like each other. You'll get a smile, you'll get recognition from people. You feel like you're part of something. Go try and do that in Europe. You're going to have a bit of a struggle because people are a bit grumpy sometimes in Europe. So with this African Dream, Vicky Sampson was from the Cape area, and the song, it was from her first album called Zai.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally written in 1992 mm-hmm. by a guy called Alan Lazar, who was part of a band called Mango Groove.
Mm.
He eventually left South Africa in 1995 and became an American citizen in 2010.
Mm.
But in that time that he was living in the United States, he completely changed what he was doing and got more involved in like motion picture and television production of music, score music. He did the theme music. He did the music for Sex in the City and a few other iconic television programs. So he then focused his energy on that. But he wrote this song, African Dream, at the time that he was with Mango Groove, and he gave it to Vicky Sampson. And then she released it in 1995. But then in 1996, it was used as a theme song for, was it the World Cup at the time? And so she used that song as a theme for the World Cup, and it just blew up, and everyone around the world just fell in love with the song.
It was the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah. So it was this iconic moment in South African music history where, you know, there was a reflection on who, what it is to be South African and African.
Vicky Sampson, African Dream. even if you don't know how to dance,
yeah,
you can pretend to know how to dance.
And people can also say, like, that I don't like Beyonce, but at least I gave her a chance. With Break My Soul.
Yes, no.
I gave the sister a chance.
It's a dance. It's a dance.
It's a number. It's going to get you on the dance floor.
Yeah, no, it's a club dance.
And the song went to number one in the US and sold 2.5 million units. I mean, you've got to give the sister credit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. How do we move from Beyonce to the
legend?
The Hugh Masekela.
Hugh Masekela, a real legend. Hugh Masekela.
You are throwing such
shade. Stimela, I think, you know, Stimela references like a steam train. And I think a lot, like, South Africa was built off the back of trains. It's like a big thing. Workers on trains, people moving from one part of the country to the other. It was the most efficient form of transportation. It's still the most efficient form of transportation, although, you know, we're having problems with our trains. But it's the cheapest way to get things from one point to another. Mm. Corporations will save a lot of money by transporting goods in that way. And a lot of migrant workers were using trains to move from their homes to, you know, the place of gold, or like these aspirational places in Johannesburg. I mean, is almost like the Hollywood of Africa. And everyone wanted to be here because if it's not the gold, it's the entertainment industry, it's the economy, you know, this is the economic hub of the country. And people were, I think it's quite a thing because people were leaving their families behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, that's why grandparents play such a huge role in our society in South Africa, because the parents are leaving home. They were leaving their children with the grandparents to take care of. I mean, it's not an easy decision to make, but it's a decision whereby you're thinking to yourself, either I'm going to do this, make this move, or stay here in poverty. So at least let me give my family a chance. And so there was a lot of nostalgia around, like, you know, leaving a family behind, and out of that grew a lot of music, people living in hostels and people, you know, trying to form some form of human connection with other people, and like groups were formed and people started singing together. And a lot of those songs were reflective of this big move, this big migration from rural areas to main
city. It's a powerful
city.
Song. It just, it really just captures, the mood.
Yeah.
And it captures it all. I mean,
exactly.
It's one of those, when a song is able to get you to feel
exactly
what these people were feeling, then
exactly
that's a success.
And transcending generations.
Well, enjoy it, because that's how we sign off tonight. And thank you, Sheldon.
Thank you.
We'll see you again next week.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.